Welcome to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on 1400 AM, 99.3 FM WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBear 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. My guest on today's program currently represents the 110th District in the Michigan House of Representatives and is seeking re-election in about two weeks we're coming up on. So Representative Scott Nyanda, thank you for joining me today.
To all of the listeners out there that are listening on our program.
Well, how's the campaign trail so far going?
Well, we're extremely busy because, you know, we have 6 1/4 counties that we represent for the people of the 110th District. And any time that there's any type of a meeting that people want me to come to, I'm all over. I just go everywhere that is possible for us to get to. And I really appreciate having the contact like that with our constituents because we go to any type of meeting that anybody will invite us to. I think, and that's something we do special in the UP. If we get an invitation, we show up.
We show up. I think this past weekend there was a lot of meetings I saw you at, and we'll definitely hit on all those subjects. But the first one, and I mean, in my opinion, is the biggest one, and that's the energy issue. What have you heard from Lansing themselves? Because it seems like, I mean, I don't want them to take any offense to this, but it seems like they're a little out of touch when it comes to the issues up here. What are they saying in terms of the whole issues with the Presque Isle power plant and the rising energy costs that are looking to take into effect coming this December?
Well, I think the first thing is that what we do up here in the UP is we make sure that our facts are what they are. And when we're downstate, we're trying to educate a lot of different people because it's a different situation for us in the UP when we're paying 24 cents a kilowatt versus down in Lower Michigan where they're paying around 12 to 14 cents a kilowatt. So right there is a big difference that we have to educate people on of the cost of what we're paying and how far we have to transmit power. And then we also have to take a look at the amount of smaller population that's spread across such a vast area. You know, 3% of the population in Michigan is up here in the UP. And it's looking like what we're doing is, you know, we have a big service area to have. And what the problem has really got more and more complex when the choice legislation came through about 7 years ago, and Cleveland Cliffs had the opportunity to go now and shop around for their power. So they have the opportunity to buy it from other sources and get that power and energy from other states. So us as just the residential and small business people, we don't have that opportunity. So that has really taken place here in the UP and it has made this front and center. You know, we have the Presque Isle power plant that has lost one of its major customers, Cleveland Cliffs, and Wisconsin and Michigan, Upper Michigan, has always shared that cost of keeping that going. So now we are looking at just the UP keeping that going, and that's why we see that we are going to have these increases coming. And it's scary because if we take a look at all of our demographics across the UP with people that are on limited incomes, they're retired, we got people that are small business people that struggle. I know I was a small business guy myself up in Calumet. And one of the things that affects every one of us is the power and the rates and what we're paying. And if we have an increase, especially now in the UP, we see the heating is going to be really kicking in now. We have a 25-degree morning here this morning. You know, we have the fact that, you know the lighting, it's getting darker. We're going to have to use more electricity to light our homes. Mm-hmm. So this is a big thing. And then it's just always the business aspect of it. You know, I mean, I talked to so many business people throughout our 7 counties that, you know, they're right now they're on the hinge of making a profit. So then we start looking at more expenses, and that's something that, you know, it makes an effect on what they plan to do for expansions and hiring more people.
Has there been any talk about dipping in to renewable energy sources? Because it seems like there's so much up here that we can do.
Correct. That has been one thing that I have been pushing ever since I got to Lansing. Number one issue is we need to generate power in the UP. Number one issue. We need to look at 4 single standing units across Upper Michigan. That would be more of us controlling our own destiny, making our own power in our own backyard. Mm-hmm. I strongly believe in burning the Michigan natural gas that we have an abundance of across Michigan. First and foremost, we should be looking at the fuel sources that we have. That's one of them. The other one that we have that we would, it would take, you know, 18 to 24 months to build four of these single standing units across Upper Michigan. We could fire them up immediately with the Michigan natural gas. But then the other conclusion that I think that we all have to look at is the example that we have right now down in Berrigo County at the Lawrence Warren plant.
Yep.
They are burning wood chips, railroad ties, and rubber. And they're having that mixture that's just right, that it burns very efficiently, very clean, and they're producing power. And when we start looking at what that does as a fiscal impact for jobs, we get more people in these four units across the UP working at the plant itself. Then you start looking at the spinoff of bringing in those materials on transportation methods, and whether it's rail or trucks that are coming into the area with some of the waste product. And then we look at the renewable piece, the most important part of this whole situation, wood chips. We're surrounded by wood. Everywhere we look, there's yep. a lot of product out there that we could do the right way. And by doing it the right way, using up that biofuel and putting a lot of people out into our area having jobs, I mean, that just creates a whole nother aspect of the power problem that would be a solution. And then, in fact, as a positive for us with the employment issue, that would be huge up here. It's the spinoff. It's just creating a new entity that we would control more of our destiny, I feel, rather than transmit power in and build, you know, a $1 billion type of system to bring power from other states. I think that, you know, any successful state has a good power supply and they make their power.
Let's get to another issue that, like I said, we were at the event at the CCISD regards to school funding. Now, there has been two sides of this. There's the side that $1 billion has been spent, and there's the side that $1 billion has been lost. What's your take on that?
Well, my take on that is this. On the federal level, we did have federal money that came into Michigan 4 years ago, and it was money that was sent in from the feds to put in education. When that dried up, there was a shortfall also. The state has cut back in the last 2 years. They cut back on a lot of the funding that was out there for schools. But ultimately, what has happened is that, you know, with Proposal A was always supposed to get us all on an equal playing field. Whether our, if our schools was getting $7,200 and a school down in Lower Michigan was getting, let's say, $10,500, at a certain point in time, we should have been more equal, which that never happened. And in my mind, the problem that we face is that if we could come up, the best solution for school funding would be able to, number one, take a head count October 1st. Number two, how much money do we have for education? We divide by the students across Michigan. Most fair process. Because I'll tell you, I have 24 school districts up in my district, in the 110th district. They are wonderful. Our rates, our kids that are coming out for graduation is very much the top. We have people that are very intelligent. They have a lot of great paths that they're going down. And, you know, they're able to function on a lower amount of money. And then we have a lot of schools in Lower Michigan that we're giving them another $3,000-$4,000, and their graduation numbers aren't there. Their performance numbers aren't there. So, I mean, we're doing it right in the UP. So I think, you know, that's one of my big things is that when you're doing something right, we should be able to share that across the whole state to be able to look at how we're doing it and what's the product that we're producing.
Another one of your big things is the vocational education. How big is that specifically for this area?
That piece of legislation that I co-sponsored was huge. I mean, all of us in the UP, our UP delegation or caucus, we've been told about this, is just, it's special because we have so many kids up here that are coming down to an end of their education where they have another path to have in the future. Vocational training is, in my mind, one of the best things that we could push for as a society, especially for us up here. We've got a lot of highly skilled individuals that, number one, want to stay in the area. We have a lot of newer companies that are coming looking for those base skills. And for us to be able to educate these kids in a K through 12 system and teach them high skills like a high skill welding, robotics, medical fields, we look at culinary arts, we can look at any type of a job, electrician, a plumber, people that are in very much in a need. And I mean, that's something that we can produce. And it would be very helpful to our economy to get people to get that into that line of work. I mean, we've got wonderful people in classes all across the district where they have a path they want to take for higher ed.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just a lot of people that in my heart, I just feel that we have to provide them an opportunity. We have to let them say, I want to be able to do skilled trades, vocational training. I want to go into the military to serve the country. I want to join up and maybe go like the state police or, you know, do something like that. I think that we have to, at a younger age, start identifying what these kids want to do. And I think it's not in, you know, 11th grade talking to a counselor. I mean, this is throughout the K through 12 system, especially to expose them to a lot of different things. Because there's a lot of younger people that say, boy, I really enjoy doing this, or I have never been around this. I mean, it's kind of like the thing with the family farmer, you know. If you're around a farm, you're into a lot of different aspects of that business. If you were, you know, like my father was a logger, so I was involved with equipment, seeing that type of stuff. So I think the more exposure that you get to these kids at a younger age, it gives them more of an idea of what they want to do for the future, and I think it's great. We need everybody out there with a good job that wants to stay in the UP. That's my thing. You know, I hate seeing us export the best thing that we have up here is our youth. You know, we educate people. We've got great universities here, Finlandia, Michigan Tech. We got great community colleges with Cogebic, and now we also have KBIC with the vocational training and, you know, state-accredited college down there in Berga. But the trouble we need to have for the future for businesses that are coming here, we got to have educated people who are high-skilled to do these jobs.
You did mention colleges and universities, and I do want to hit on something that it really hits home with me. In the past year, I believe a study was done that student loan debt has now surpassed credit card debt. And do you foresee any kind of a plan to stop or even lessen tuition increases, which, I mean, compared studies have been done from the 90s and the 80s where tuition rates have gone up 300%, 400%. Do you see any way to not so much scare kids into having to take out so many loans?
Yes, I do. I think that it's an identified problem just like it was 10 to 12 years back when we saw all the credit card debt across the country. People woke up to the fact that they had to pay off that credit card debt. They had to make better decisions. We had to look at different ways of being able to get debt paid off and stay away from debt. And I think that is key in our future with a lot of the programs that are happening now for with higher ed, and to make sure that younger people that are starting off into vocational training, you know, also working with community colleges and working with the four-year universities, that they have a better plan of where they want to go immediately to start. And maybe that is just like an example I use here in Houghton County, Cogebic Community College up here in Houghton County, to be able to take some of your base classes, to be able to build that up and be able to maybe look at lower cost. I think one of the big things on the federal level that I want the federal people to do is to be able to have an adjustment and be able to take debt that's currently there that people owe and to be able to refinance the interest rate. Mm-hmm. I think that would be huge if on the federal level we could get to the point where if somebody has $80,000 worth of debt that's paying 8.5% interest, if they could be able to shop that around to be able to get that interest rate down to say 4% or 5%, because over a course of many years it's going to make a big difference on that. So I think that the other thing that's successful, especially we got a lot of programs that I'm very proud of up in our area, you know, a lot of partnerships with our local K through 12 systems that are partnering up right now with Cogebic Community College for them to be able to get 60 credits while they're still in school or expanding into a fifth year of high school through those programs. Because when we look at debt, and we look at paying for 60 credits and you're not having to pay that over 20 years, I think that is a huge factor of getting the debt load down on what education costs. And then with the vocational training, there's so many great programs out there to be an apprenticeship program where you're getting trained as you work and you don't have that debt. That, is, to my mind, is just as huge.
Another huge subject that's been talked about among the legislature is the road funding issue. And it seems like since the governor made his State of the State address talking about $1.2 billion and where it's going to be coming from, seems it's been passed back and forth. Who's going to, where is the money coming from? Where is this and where is that? I mean, I guess an election year, not much can be done. But now that we're moving forward, if you are reelected, where do you want to see that money come from?
Well, first and foremost, I am on the Transportation Committee for the House. And have, as what I said before I got elected and as the, now I'm elected and down there, I think that we have to take a look at, number one, how are we spending the budgetary amount that we have right now in the state of Michigan for the Department of Transportation. We're spending about $3.4 billion. So, number one, we got to look at how we are operating the business. I think that in my opinion, I think that we definitely got to look at, you know, how we're managing our road system. I think that's the first order of business before we start talking about raising taxes on the road system. I think that there's a lot of things that maybe we could do to improve things as far as, you know, sharing some services. I think that, you know, there's just different maybe construction ideas that are out there that are always talked about for different projects. And I think that we got to start looking at all aspects of that. You know, I would be definitely for coming up with some kind of a solution to this funding issue, as long as that there is a look and a serious look at what we're doing to manage what we're spending currently.
A touchy subject would be one regarding the use of marijuana. And would you see yourself supporting legislation similar to what was passed in the states of Colorado and the state of Washington, something like small amounts of recreational use? I mean, I know some cities downstate have been able to pass it. I'm looking at your reaction right now. What's your take on this one? Because it does generate a lot of discussion locally and nationally.
Well, it does locally and nationally. And just, you know, one thing I always do when I base all my decisions in the UP is I vote for my counties. And I'm not a fan of that. You know, being a former party store owner, I mean, we had Michigan Liquor Control, which oversaw all of the businesses that sell alcohol in the state of Michigan. There's a set of very defined regulatory rules that are out there about the sale and the consumption, if it's, you know, being done on a premise or off a premise, which would be, you know, going to the gas station and buying some alcohol or sitting in a restaurant having any type of alcohol. So, you know, for that, you know, I just see that there's a lot more other issues that come into play, especially with law enforcement, if we're going to have to go down this path. I think that, you know, currently, if there was some way of being able to test people that were on these type of products when they're driving in that, I don't think we're there yet with the technology. I really don't. I think that, you know, the one thing I'm always worried about is that it gets into the hands of the kids. Mm-hmm. That's the my thing. I mean, you know, it's for an adult, if you want to make decisions, but for the young people, that's what I'm always concerned with.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest, Representative Scott Dianda. Maybe a little bit of a tie-in with that is the issue with the drugs in the Upper Peninsula, and it seems like every week we hear about another meth lab being busted. There has been legislation passed, including the smurfing, to try to prevent these meth labs from being created. Again, if you're reelected, is there going to be more pressure put on the legislature to keep passing these? Because, I mean, I'm not real sure about what goes on downstate, but almost specifically in the Western UP, I mean, these meth labs are everywhere.
That is correct, and it's a very unfortunate thing that we're starting to see that's popping up in Upper Michigan. And we had 6 town halls that all the UPers did across the state, or the Upper Peninsula, this summer, and all of us, as far as all of our UP reps and Senator Tom Casperson, you know, that was something that was brought up a lot. I mean, our people are very aware of this problem. It's a very evil problem that we have. I have supported the legislation that Representative John Kivala came up with, a bill package that was pretty much passed throughout the both sides, the House and the Senate, signed by the governor, and in a very bipartisan way, everybody got a chance to participate in this. One of the key ingredients would be the Sudafed type of
drug that they can get. Yep.
Yeah. So, and what we were originally, what was happening on that was to be able to make that by prescription only, and that was one of the most key parts of all that legislation that was really didn't make it through the whole process. If that would have happened, one of the only things that you couldn't reproduce out of that meth would have been that element. And that did not make it to that full effect in the law. And one thing that I do want to say is that, you know, we do have illegal drugs all over the country, and we do see more of a concentration of that in cities. But we do see that coming into rural areas, I think, because they can hide easier. Mm-hmm. And I think that one thing that's been a big success is the fact that we have a lot of wonderful citizens who are engaged with all of our safety up here that pay attention. Neighborhood watches, watching your, you know, what's happening in your area, and to be able to report this to the authorities is huge. Because if we got people that are up here in our area in Upper Michigan in the 110th district, and they are literally poisoning our children with this stuff, we got to get a hold of them and have them prosecuted. This is just I say it's an evil. It's an evil for them to be able to come and try to poison us on this stuff.
And definitely want to hit on the two proposals that are coming up. And I don't want to seem like I'm bashing the downstate. I really am not. But again, this might be another one where they're a little bit out of touch, because I don't know how many wolves or any kind of wolf issue, if there is even any up here, but they don't really understand down there. What have you been able to, you know what, let me get your stance on it. Is there a problem?
Well, I do believe there was a problem, because this was something that we have never had in over 100 years. I mean, back in the day, we are, you know, told that there were wolves in the area. They were indigenous to around here. And then as far as, you know, the farming communities grew through the late 1800s and 1900s, they were eradicated around okay. here because of, you know, business and, you know, producing food for people in a very bad climate up here. And then I think what has happened now is that, you know, the population has grown so much that a lot of our true UP people are just saying, are they taking over as far as having a lot of them around? You know, and in my personal opinion, I just, you know, I talk to everybody across the 7 counties. I talk to our law enforcement people that see them. I see people see them coming into town, and I just, number one, I'm here to represent the people at 110th District, and I think there is a disconnect between, again, 3% of the population versus in lower Michigan, because, you know, it's just like the power issue. You know, we're facing it. A lot of people don't really understand it down there, or they don't understand that, you know, we are having something that are right in our backyard, and, you know, if they are, you know, walking through town, I think people get nervous. It'd be no different than, you know, if somebody downstate saw a coyote go through a subdivision down there, or, you know, something that was out of the norm to them. So I think there is a little bit of a disconnect.
Representative Dianda, in closing, what would you like to say to the voters?
Well, what I'd like to say to the voters is this. I appreciated serving you the last 2 years of my running in the 110th District. It's been a pleasure. And I really ask people if they would support me again. I'm looking for their vote. It's been a pleasure to serve them, and I'd love to serve them again.
All right, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. Representative Dianda, thank you very much for joining me on today's program.
Thank you, Sam.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Copper Country Today.